We're here in Brachas on Daf Zayin Omid Aleph. In the Agatata, the Gemara is quoting statements of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yossi. So if you count down from the widest lines, it should be about 12 lines down. The first word is HaKadosh Baruch, then the two dots. Be Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. And the subject here is a person who's ma'orer es libo l'tshuva. He awakens himself to do tshuva. He comes onto it on his own. And this is a great mila, as opposed to someone who is compelled by fear or by punishments. All sorts of different motivations bring a person to do tshuva and to straighten himself out. But Rabbi Yossi wants to highlight a person who comes from within. He is motivated from within his own soul. Tova mardus achas belibo shel adam. And Rashi explains that we're talking about mardus loshon ridui v'achna. When a person in a humble way accepts upon himself the right way, he wants to amend his ways and correct himself, subjugate himself to the law of the Torah. And Rashi emphasized, "Sha'odam som alibo me'elav." From within, he comes to arouse himself, to awaken himself, to do tshuva. And that's greater, yoser mikama malkios. You can force a person, you can coerce him and punish him with malkios, but that's not the best, that's not the optimum way of bringing a person to tshuva. Shenemari derives it from a pasuk, which describes Knesset Yisrael, this is Hoshea Navi, at a time when Klal Yisrael were really not at their best behavior, so to speak. And the pasuk says, Viridfa es ma'ahaveha, velo sasig osam, ubakashasam lo velo simtza, viomra elcha veashuva el ishi harishon, kitovli az me'ata. We're talking about a person who goes back, a woman in this case goes back to her first husband, meaning she strayed away from the path, and now she returns. We always see the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a marriage kind of relationship. And here, if Knesset Yisrael were disloyal, Elcha v'yashuva el ishi arishon. And we're talking about a case, a situation in which a person, and again this symbolizes Knesset Yisrael, is running after mazolos, marachos hashamayim, is influenced by external pressures, and perhaps put their faith in these stars and astrological constellations, and not in Hashem. And finally, after straying away from Hashem, by realizing that all the other forces and energies in the universe, these kochavim, these mazolos, are not really doing much to help them, then she, again the symbol of Klal Yisrael, focuses on tshuva. And that's called Ishi Harishon. She begins to understand then that it's better for her to serve Hashem and depend upon Him. And even though Knesset Yisrael had suffered punishments as a result of her evil actions, and the Mefarshim point out that in the psukim before and after this pasuk of El Chavashuv El Ishi Arishon, the pasuk describes the onshim, the malkios that were brought upon Klal Yisrael. None of those were effective in bringing tshuva, in bringing the nation of Israel back to Hashem. Rather, she has to come back to tshuva on her own, declaring Elcha v'shuv el ishi arishon. That's called mardus achas, which is hachna belibo shel adam, tova mikama malkios. It's much more powerful, long-lasting, than all the punishments. And the Ben Yehoyada here explains that why is mardus so superior to all the yisurim, to the suffering and the malkios? Because a person who does tshuva and amends his ways, leaving the bad path, the evil path behind, because of yisurim, because he wants to protect himself from suffering, it's quite possible that he really doesn't, in his heart, he doesn't admit, he doesn't recognize that his path and his behavior is evil. He simply leaves that path of evil against his will out of a fear of yisurim. That's not going to be long lasting. That's not sincere. That's not going to make a profound impact on his soul. But if a person has true remorse and regret, and he recognizes that his ways are evil, and he leaves them behind, that's what the pasuk here in Hosea says, ki tov li oz mi'ata. He now, by admitting and recognizing the bad path, the evil path that he went upon, he realizes it's not good. Now he's in a better situation. And that's going to be a profound change that's going to have a long-term effect on him, projecting him for good down the future. Now, the Marshal learns that where in these psukim in Hosea is there any indication of Malkios? Now, keep in mind that our pasuk in Hosea Beis is pasuk Tes. The Marshal says, if you fast forward to psukim Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, there it says, Veishavti kol mesosa, and Vishamti Gafno Utenasa. These are all psukim that refer to the Malkias that were brought upon Klal Yisrael as punishment. And why? Because Klal Yisrael is compared to a woman who's disloyal to her husband and she goes off with another man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is her husband, her first husband. And when Knesset Yisrael serves other gods, those heavenly celestial spheres and the astrological powers, thinking that they are the true source and worthy of avodah, that's as if a woman strays with another husband. And Hashem brings punishment upon her, and that's one way to bring Klal Yisrael back. But the best way is through what we call Mardus Achas, which is a self motivated and generated hachna. The Ein Yaakov says that the punishments are quoted here in Hosea Beis in earlier psukim. In pasuk Ches it says Lachen Hini Shachas Darkecha Besirim, and the Navi says in the name of Hashem that He will bring upon Klal Yisrael all these evil happenings, all these punishments and sufferings. But the best way, the optimum way, the genuine tshuva is the tshuva of me'elav, when a person comes to achnas halev, he's mis'or b'tshuva me'elav. It's sincere, it comes from within. It represents man recognizing in a true sincere way that his path is evil. Rabbeinu Nisim Gon is quoted here as saying that the lev is maven es hagara. So we'll take a look at this in just a minute. First, let's read Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish Omar, again referring to this mardus achas belibo shel adam, is better than yosemi mea malkios. And at the face of it, it seems like Reish Lakish is more or less repeating what Rabbi Yochanan had said earlier, but he's just giving it an extra dramatic push. It's greater than even 100 Malkios. But I think if we take a look a little deeper here, we may see that Reish Lakish is covering a different dimension of this issue. Let's see first of all the pasuk that he quotes. Shenemar, he quotes a pasuk in Mishle, Techas Ga'ara B'mevin Mehakos K'sil Mea. Obviously the K'sil is a reference to the person who only sees the light because of Mea, because of the Mea Malkios. He's a K'sil in the sense that he's still in that low state. You can hit him 100 times, but nevertheless, he doesn't have a genuine hachna. He doesn't really recognize and acknowledge his evil path. So you can take this k'sil and hit him 100 times, but it's not the same as the techas, which Rashi says techas means hachna. And once again, we're talking about achna machmas shegoer adam biatzmo, says Rashi, that a person realizes from within that this is not the right path. He faces all the challenges, and even though he's failed in the past, now he realizes he's got to succeed. The lev is the source of havanas hagara, which is Hachnas Halev. And that's more potent and more powerful than Mea Malkios. Shemakin es Haguf. The Gaon, in his interpretation of this pasuk of Techas Ga'ara in Mishle, explains the pasuk a little bit differently. We're not talking about the Tochacha, the rebuke of a person who understands on his own and is Ma'or Eli De Atzmo, but rather garabo vidibru imo shiyachzerbo mimasav hatovim haroyim. Excuse me. We're talking about a case where a person was spoken to, and those diburim that were spoken to him to be maorim to tshuva touched his soul. They had a real genuine impact on him. He was inspired. Ukshekibel atochacha, when he accepts this rebuke, zui amardus hatova belibo. This is man reaching his state of humility, accepting upon himself malchus shamayim in his heart and a genuine sense because he was mekabel atochacha. And that, he says, mo'ilulo, is more effective than mea malchios v'onshim anitonim lechote kidei shiyachzer b'tshuva. So the greatest impact is when a person hears divrei tochacha and he accepts them. He understands and he recognizes midaito, that he has to straighten out his ways. So this whole sugya really revolves around tshuva. Rashi here has a long discussion about the digduk, about the word Techas here in this pasuk in Mishle, which means knia. It's a shem etzem. It's a noun for knia. Not to be confused, says Rashi, with the word teches. So this is techas, and in Sefer Dvarim it says al tira val techas, with a segel under the ches, as opposed to a pasach under the ches in Mishle. So the difference between the pasach and Dvarim is that teches is really, the tough is a prefix, and the shoresh is ches tough, which is a reference to fear. And therefore the lashon of the pasuk there is a tuf of shimush, which means lashon tifal, and it really means al tichna. Here in our pasuk in Mishle that we're studying here, the first tuf is not a prefix, but it's part of the shorash of the word. So it's not Lashon Tifal, but rather it's a description of the power of Hachna, of Gara. What does Gara accomplish? It's Machnia Es Ha'odom. What is the difference now between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Is Reish Lakish simply reviewing and repeating what Rabbi Yochanan said, but just giving it an extra punch? So in truth, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are addressing two different questions you'll see in the Ein Yaakov. The question that Rabbi Yochanan is addressing is, what motivates a person to do tshuva? And there are two answers to that question, two alternative possibilities. One is that man comes to do tshuva because of the malchus and the onshin that he suffers. And the other is where a man comes to do tshuva because of an internal awakening, which is sincere. And Rabbi Yochanan wants to prove from the pasuk in Hosea, "V'omra elcha v'yashuva ki tov li'oz me'ata," that even though Knesset Yisrael suffered much punishment and many malchios, that really did not have any effective impact on Klal Yisrael to do tshuva until she, Klal Yisrael, did tshuva me'atzma from within herself. That's what really is the greater and more profound motivation to do tshuva. It's got to come from within. Rabbi Reish Lakish, on the other hand, is adding and addressing really a slightly different question. He's not asking what motivates a person to tshuva, but rather he's talking about the quality of tshuva. And he's comparing two categories of tshuva, two tshuva experiences, if you will. There's a person who is brought to tshuva because of Yisurin, and even though he does tshuva, the Yisurin successfully brought him to do tshuva, motivated him to tshuva, but nevertheless, his tshuva is on a lower level. It's not the most profound level of tshuva. Had he come to do tshuva, machmas knias ha'lev, because his lev wakes him up, garabo, and tells him that, look, buddy, you're angering your creator, that tshuva is much greater. And you can compare these two types of tshuva, says Reish Lakish, to a tshuva miyira and a tshuva miyava. Tshuva machmas yiras ha'onesh, when a person does tshuva because he's afraid of punishment, that's a lower level of tshuva. That's a sur meira kind of level. But the highest level of tshuva is tshuva ve'avas haborim. And that's what Reish Lakish wants to prove, the greatness of this tshuva and its profound impact and level, by quoting the pasuk in Mishlei, Techas ge'ora b'mevin. This is a tshuva that comes through achnas ha'adam me'atzmo. It's a tshuva me'ava, and it's greater than the tshuva that's brought about by Mea Malkios. But what we learn from this Gemara, and this is what we have to take away from this Gemara, is that a person would be well advised that he introspect, he searches constantly his actions, his behavior patterns, look back in the past and see. And it should bring him to a state of shivron halev. He should be heartbroken over his sins, over his failures. He should be ma'aneach umischaret. He should come to a true regret, a genuine resolution that is a mardus, that's me'elov, that's inherent in the person. It's belibo shel adam. And it's a process of purification, of uplifting his lev. And then, once he reaches that lev, then as the pasuk says in Tehillim, lev nishbar v'nidcha, Elohim lo tevaze, he will never again deviate from the path of Hashem. Yofa mardus achas belibo shalodom yoser mikama malkios. Chazal are teaching us the road, the path of education. And when a person has to teach and has to inspire and educate people, he shouldn't do it by all these, you know, scary kinds of things to shake up his student. That's not going to encourage, that's not going to engender a genuine fear of Hashem. That's Yiras HaOnesh. But then there's a different kind of Yira. That's Yiras HaRomimus. And that's a Yira that is attached to and integrated with Ava, a true, genuine loyalty out of love. And sometimes, and this is sort of typical of earlier generations, the method of pedagogy, of teaching, was with the makel, was to use the stick and to punish the children. Today, we've sort of proven that, and life experience is that all these kinds of beating up the child don't really bring the child to the sincere level. You know, some children, well, they're afraid of their parents, but as soon as the parents are not around, they rebel. You have children who come to Israel for the year, and the goal of the educational system, of the inspiration of the mechanchim, the yeshiva, should be to bring the child, the young man, to realize on his own how great the Torah is, to embrace it and to love it. And that's really what Chazal saw here, almost beruach kodesh, foreseeing our generation and contemporary times, that the goal should be Yofa Mardus Achas Belibo Shalodom, not the Malkius. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichron Levracha, tells the story about his Malamed, the one he loved so much from his Cheder. True, his Malamed had a stick, a whipping stick, but he kept it up, tied on the wall, high up. If a child in the Cheder was misbehaving, he would point his finger at the whip. But as Rav Yaakov tells it, he never actually took the whip down, because his approach was one was love, of love and inspiration. And what is Reish Lakish adding to Rav Yochanan? Let's take a look at the Ein Ayah. He says, Nirish Ahosif al Divrei Rav Yochanan Kodmin, V'yomer Yoser Mikama Malkios, Yeshnei in Yonim Bechinuch HaMusari, Yeshchinuch Tmidi, LaHargil Esa'odim Emaisim Tovim Minas Tovos, V'yesh Chinuch Pit'omi Mikri, B'shoshim Izdamein, Shesor Miderech HaYosher, V'nechrat Slav Chicho. Hine Rav Yochanan Omer, Yoser Mikama Malkios, HaKavona, Shu Tov L'shtadl Sheti Adroch HaMusaris Ba, B'mechunach mitzad sichlo v'akaroso v'tmidius yoser mi'ilu nakeu v'alyzeide alyidezenak nechanchenu lasur mi'ra b'chlal v'oleches v'derech tov v'eshlochesham is yoser mi'mea malkis hakavona afilu b'shar achinuch hamikri ki hishchiz darko b'chetu posha chomur Royal little koso mea malchus beovena yosa gadol bemukim bead pisham lufi anoig miderech chinuch al yideze yofa mardus asichlus. So whereas Rabbi Yochanan, when he addresses the case of a student, a disciple, if you will, who is being trained constantly to observe and live up to standards of Maisim Tovim, and sometimes, in a radical, shall we say, deviation, when at one particular moment, at one particular crossroads, the child really deviates and violates the law, and then you might have to bring him Malchios, you know, to really scare him at that moment. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan says that the greatest level, the best level, the superior level of Hadracha Musaris is when the Mechanech can teach the child to understand Misnad Sichlo, the Hakarasa, to remember, to acknowledge, to constantly be cognizant. That's always the best way. And Reish Lakish wants to add the Mea Malchus, meaning even when those critical moments in which the child really deviates, Hishkes Darko Bechetu Pesha Chomer, and now he deserves Mea Malchus, even in that situation, the best way of dealing with him is the Derech Chinuch, to educate him, to inspire him, to Amardus Milibo. Ki anitzot hasichli sheba adam yoyir gam mechashche leiv osam shekvar hevu darkom. He says to touch man's spirit and illuminate his soul is possible even when man is in the darkest spots, when he's crossed all red lines and he's violated the law in a very extreme way. And even then, Reish Lakish is a proponent of Chova La Losam B'Mailas Nevonim Shireuim Lahakir Erech Amar D'Shebelev, to again bring about the atmosphere, the ambiance for this young man to come back and to recognize, and that becomes a Mardus Shebelev. The next statement of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yossi should be introduced with a little background by reading the pasuk in Shmos Lamed Gimel that's not quoted in the Gemara, and that will give us a greater appreciation of the Gemara itself. In that perek, we're going to go to the end and work backwards. We'll start with Pasuk Yud Zayin. And in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hashem tells Moshe, I will fulfill all your requests. Gam es hadover hazeh shedibarta eseh, ki motzasa chen bi'enai ve'idacha b'shem. Now, says Rabbi Yossi, let's go back and see what were the requests of Moshe. The response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Pasuk Yud Zayin was in the affirmative. What were those requests that came before Pasuk Yud Zayin? What was God saying to Moshe now? Hadavar asher dibarta eseh. Says Rabbi Yossi, Shlosha dvarim bikesh Moshe milifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were three different things, three different requests that Moshe Rabbeinu presented to the Almighty. V'nasan lo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded by giving him all three requests. Bikei shetishra shchinaso shchina al Yisrael, v'nasan lo. Moshe Rabbeinu requested hashras hashchina on klal Yisrael. This is in the aftermath of the Egel, and the fear was that God would be totally alienated from the people of Israel. Moshe stood up and he prayed on behalf of Klal Yisrael. You remember the Mecheni no Misifracha? And he requested, Ubamei voda efo ki matzasi chen beinecha nivei amecha lo belechtecha imonu. Moshe Rabbeinu was asking that the Metzius chen here, that Klal Yisrael found chen in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be demonstrated. How? Belechtecha imanu, that the Shechina will accompany Knesset Yisrael. The impact of the sin of the Egel was tremendous, because now the fear was that special intimacy, the close relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between the Dod and the Raya, was broken. The relationship was gone. And now Klal Yisrael would have to go into Eretz Yisrael alone, At best, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would allow a malach to accompany them. And of course, Vayisabolu, the response of Klal Yisrael to this bad news was one of mourning and grief. And therefore Moshe comes forward and he prays. And he says, "Bameivada, how do I know kimotzasi chen beinecha ani v'amecha, that we, the people of Israel, still have metzius chen despite the terrible sin? Halo belechtecha imanu." Moshe is asking that it be quite clear that that metzius chen reflects itself and can be touched, so to speak. It can be seen by Hashem's hashos hashchina. That's the first request that Hashem answered, Hadover hazeh asher dibarta eseh, ki motzasa chen b'yenai. But number two, b'kei shalot tishre shchina al ovdei kochavim, that the hashos hashchina that Moshe requested in his first request is exclusive to Bnei Yisrael. No other nation could share that hashos hashchina. V'nasal HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded in the positive. And now we're moving forward from Pasuk Tezayin to the last part of Pasuk Zayin. It says, V'niflinu ani v'amcha. And the word V'niflinu, as Rashi points out, is Miloshen Avdola. There'll be a very sharp contrast, separation, between the relationship between Hashem and Am Yisrael, his nation, and the relationship that he has to other umos. With regard to Klal Yisrael via Hashos Hashchina, but not with regard to the nations of the world. And before we go on weiter and see the third Bakasha, let's just combine, or so to speak, sew together the first two Bakashas. One is that Klal Yisrael should have Hashos Hashchina, and the other is that the Umos Olam should not have Hashos Hashchina. And God's response was, V'niflinu ami v'amcha. There will be a Havdalah. And we're going to look here at the kasha that's raised by the Sefer Chafetz Hashem. And he says, Ma olal daito shel Moshe levakish lo tishu shechina alov teichav? What was the havamina of Moshe? Was he really thinking that the Shechina would be shora on the ovdei kochavim? It doesn't seem that there would be any logical reason for that to happen, that Moshe Rabbeinu has to pray that it shouldn't happen. So the Chafetz Hashem explains that at the beginning, Moshe asks that there should be a permanent Hashros Hashchina for Klal Yisrael. When I say permanent, I mean even after something of a sin as severe as Chet HaEgel, they had a status of Mumrim L'Kol HaTorah Kula. Nevertheless, the Pasuk says, in Vayikra Tezayin, Hashochein Itam B'toch Tumasam. And the Gemara in Masechta Yuma darshins and illuminates this pasuk. What does it mean, Hashochein Imam Itam B'toch Tumasam Afil B'shoshem Chotim V'tmeim Shechina Imoyim? This is what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking from Hashem. That was his first bakasha, that the Shechina shor al Yisrael, even when they reach this lowest state of chet, of tumah, the Shechina is with them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded in the positive, he will in fact be mashra Shechina al Yisrael, even when they are evil, even when they've strayed from the path. And if we could add, even when they look like the Umos Olam. Now enter stage two, the second bakasha. We're really in trouble now. If Hashem is guaranteeing that even when the Jewish people look like and behave like the Umos Olam, there'll be Shechina, Moshe Rabbeinu is very nervous. He's got to ask for another bakasha. Shelo tishre Shechina aleihem. Because imagine a scenario in which the Jewish people have strayed from the path of their mitzvos, and the Umos Olam are dedicated and loyal to their mitzvos, which are the seven mitzvos b'nei Noach. Moshe Rabbeinu chash Hashem yavuz man. Maybe at some point in the future there'll be a time sheyu Yisrael chotim chas v'shalom v'tia oz, Ezekat biumas olam. Maybe there'll be some group amongst the nations of the world. Shetishmar sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. These are the Jews, like the non-Jews that down south in America that are now following and observing the seven mitzvos b'nei Noach. Is, you know, God might decide that one time. Yachlof HaKadosh Chas Shom Sam Yisro Bel Se'uma. You know what? Why be Mashal Shechina on Klal Yisro when they're not living up to the Tariq Mitzvahs? Why not be Mashal Shechina on the Ummah amongst the non-Jewish nations that is loyal and dedicated to the seven Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Is Moshe asks now in his second Bakosh, Shlo Yishra HaKadosh Baruch HaShechina Sal Ummah Salom Klal, that even when the situation might justify a Shechina on Umas Olam, when they are worthy, nevertheless, the Shechina will be Shora exclusively on Klal Yisrael. They are Chelko, they are Chaval Nachloso, they're the Am Segula. There's a love and deep relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael in an irreversible way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to that. This is a special Krisus Bris that Hashem will not replace the nation of Israel with another nation, even when circumstances seem to, at least on the face of it, justify such a achlofa, such a change and such an exchange. That's the Bris that Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded through his tefillos in forging with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Hashras Hashchina for all generations. And I would say that even in our generation, with all the problems that we have, and the enemies that surround us, and the intermarriage, and so on, no matter what level we're at, there still is a Hashras Hashchina. Maybe during certain periods of time, it's overt, it's recognizable, it's very intense, it's begilui, it's revealed. Other periods of time, it's more behest there. We don't see it. Where is the Hashras HaShechina? But nevertheless, it's there, inherently. That's the nature of this bris. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu v'flinu, ani v'yamcha. And I want to mention that the Marsha and others expand on this concept of v'niflinu, Lashon Havdola, like we have a pasuk in Shmos Tes, V'hifla Hashem bein Makne Yisrael, Mikne Yisrael bein Mikne Mitzrim, in the case of the Eser Makis. And let's take a look at some sort of Nevuah prophecy that exists amongst the nations of the world. Take, for example, the case of Bilam. The Torah describes in Bamidbar Chavdalid the nature of Nevuah's Bilam as Nofel V'Goliei Nayim. It's not a real, permanent, profound, lucid nevuah. Rashi, in a pasuk in Eov, V'elai diber yeguna, dover yegunav, he says that Ruach HaKodesh is not shorah in the Umas HaOlam unless it's peseser u'begneva. Maybe the Umas HaOlam could chap some sort of nevuah, but it's arangchapt. It's not the real, head-on, clear communication. And if you take, for example, prophetic experiences of various members of the non-Jewish world, like Avimelech in Bereishis Chaf, Lavan has his prophecy, which Hashem speaks to him in Bereishis Lamed Aleph, Nevuchadnezzar in Sefer Daniel Perek Beis, all of these are mimin ha-nevuah. They're sort of like nevuah, but it only comes B'chalom Laila, it's only B'seser, B'gneva, and only that. It also, the goal of this, of all these Nevuahs, in the case of Avimelech and Lavan and Nebuchadnezzar, are all K'dei Lahagdil Be'neim Es Ha'avos, O'es Am Yisrael. It's in order to raise the bar, raise the evaluation of the non-Jews for the Jews, to make them more aware of how great the Jewish nation is, to instill in them the awe for the Jewish people and for the Avos. And therefore, Nevuas Bilam, which is the greatest of all the Nevi'im of the Umas HaOlam, it still is Nofel V'Goliei Nayim. And the Maharsha adds another comment here that Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, his bakasha takash baruch hu, not to be mashra shechina on the Umas Olam, that's for the future, meaning after Moshe's death. As far as the period of time of Bilam, who overlapped obviously with Moshe, that's a different story. What was the third bakasha of Moshe that was answered in the affirmative? Rav Yossi says, "Bikeish lahodio drachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Moshe asks of God that he reveals something about the way he judges the creatures of this world. We know, for example, that there's an hanhaga called Tzadik Viralo. There's Tzadik Vitovlo. There's Rasha Viralo. There's Rasha Vitovlo. There are many different combinations. What is the line of reasoning? What is the logic or the rationale that guides Hashem's Hanhaga in his Mishpat? And this is what Moshe turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, V'yata imnoma tosi chen ve'necha hodieni nostrochecha ve'idoacha l'man emtza chen ve'necha. The Pnei Yoshua here makes a very important comment on this hodieni nostrochecha. Amar Moshe Lefana, Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Bipnei ma yesh tzadik v'tovlo, v'yesh tzadik v'ralo, yesh rasha v'tovlo, yesh rasha v'ralo. Moshe is not asking about the classical theodicy question of rasha v'tovlo, of tzadik v'ralo, and rasha v'tovlo. Moshe Rabbeinu understands, and this is really indicated by a pasuk in Dvarim, "Umeshalim l'sonav al panav la'avido," which means that very often there's a rush of a tovlo because Hashem is giving any measure of reward that this Russia might have earned in his lifetime. Give him that measure of reward in this world, so that he has no place in the world to come. That's rush of a tovlo. And tzadik v'ralo, on the flip side, might be a case of a tzadik who has certain, shall we say, he sinned a few times, I don't know what. And rather than punish him in the world to come, Hashem meets out his punishment in this world. That's tzadik v'ralo, to bring him to the state of purity with a clean slate and gets a clear billing when he comes to Olam Haba, the world of Schar. That didn't bother Moshe Rabbeinu. But there's a certain inconsistency, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find the logical pattern. What are the rules that govern? Why was it that sometimes you find a tzaddik v'tovlo? Sometimes you find the rush of Aralo. I mean, all four combinations exist in the world. It's not clear to me exactly what Moshe saw. For example, if Moshe Rabbeinu himself was denied entry into Eretz Yisrael, would that have bothered Moshe as a tzaddik v'ralo kind of situation, where others who were not on the level of Moshe were allowed entry into Eretz Yisrael? Perhaps Moshe was asking about Nadav Avihu and the various... It's not clear to me exactly what Moshe was asking about. But the bottom line is that Moshe looks out and he sees all these different scenarios. It looks like an anarchy situation. What's the rationale? What is the principle that guides? Hiksh hukshal of Moshe, says the Bnei Yeshua, manish tanu elu v'elu, mikemet sheyesh tzadik v'tovlo. In other words, it apparently means that Hashem can reward a tzadik in this world. Why is there a tzaddik v'ralo, where we say that in this world he's going to be, shall we say, punished for those few averis that he has? And if there's a rush of v'ralo, then dovratema, why should there be a rush of a tovlo? There's no rhyme or reason. There's no consistency. Omar lo Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Moshe, tzaddik v'tovlo is a tzaddik ben tzaddik. Tzaddik v'ralo is a tzaddik ben rasha. Rasha v'tovlo is a Rasha ben Tzadik. Rasha v'ralo is a Rasha ben Rasha. A very strange answer indeed. It's almost as if there are technical rules here that govern God's hanhaga. But to say that Hashem in these words would have satisfied Moshe's rational mind, that's very strange. A tzaddik who's a ben tzaddik is going to be tovlo. A tzaddik who's a ben rasha is going to be ralo. I mean, why is that? He's a tzaddik. Where is the logic that would have, in a sense, would have filled Moshe's curiosity with a positive response that he could grasp, that makes sense? And I want to read to you the words again of the Pnei Yoshua. He writes, "Afilu Moshe Rabbeinu lo heshiv li atzmo al Loheshiv li atzmo al sheiloso misvora el tshuva nirmezes lo beposik sheish lo Moshe ben Karasi b'shem Hashem lefanecha haynu shalimed le Moshe seder shloshes rei midos shel rachamim." The Pnei Yoshua says that the Gemara is not explaining some sort of logical pattern here in the Hanhag of Hashem that would calm down Moshe's curious intellectual mind, because Moshe Rabbeinu himself was not looking for a svara over here. He wanted to know what exactly is the system. Is there some consistent rule that governs the Hanhag here? It makes different Hanhag of a tzaddik, Viralo, Tzadik Vitovlo, etc., etc. Says the Pnei Yoshua, the answer to Moshe's question is hinted at in the Pasuk V'karasi B'Shem Hashem Lefanecha. That Pasuk is a reference to the Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim. And the message of the Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim, of Notzer Chesed La'alofim, of Poked Avronos Albonim, is that there is some sort of relationship in the world of Schar V'Onesh between the son and the Maisa Avos. And therefore we can differentiate between a Tzadik ben Tzadik and a Tzadik ben Rasha. And of course by sheer association, although I didn't see the Mefarshim, we're reminded of the Chazal at the beginning of Parshas Toldos, when Rivka is childless and both Yitzchak and Rivka praying to Hashem, Hashem responds dafka to the prayers of Yitzchak. He's a tzaddik ben tzaddik, rather than the prayers of Rivka, who is a tzaddik ben Rasha. However, the Gemara is not happy with this. Amar Mar, the Gemara revisits the statement of Rabbi Yossi. Tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik ben tzadik. Tzadik v'ralo, tzadik ben rasha. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Is the tzadik being punished here because of his father's sins? V'aksiv poked avos al banim. And in another pasuk it says, ksiv ubanim lo yimsal al avos. One pasuk seems to indicate that Hashem will visit the punishment on the children because of the sins of their fathers. The other pasuk says that children will not suffer as a result of their father's sins. Reminu kraya dadi, and this is a contradiction. Mishanina, and the answer is lokasha. Ha kisha ochsin maisa avosem biyodeim. Ha kisha enos ochsin maisa avosem biyodeim. When is it that the children would be punished for their father's iniquities? When is it poked of an office albanim? That's when the children continue the approach and the behavior, the evil of their parents. Perhaps they are taken to task for not realizing, not learning from the evil of their parents to do a better job, to improve their lives. But the case of lo yumsu avos albanim is a case where, despite the father's evil ways, the child is a tzaddik and he rejects his father's ways. In such a case, he would certainly not be punished for the chatoim of his ancestors. And therefore, it's impossible to take this statement of Rabbi Yossi at face value and say that God's answer to Moshe was that the tzaddik v'ralo is the tzaddik ben Rasha. On the contrary, the tzaddik ben Rasha deserves even greater reward. Why does he fit into this category of tzaddik v'ralo? Because his father was a Rasha. He rejected his father's ways. He's ein ochsim v'maisav v'salbonim. And therefore, if he's not Ochis Maisav Hoseim, the pasuk that's appropriate for him is Lo Yumsu Avos Albonim. But, excuse me, Lo Yumsu Bonim Al Avos. Why then is the Tzaddik Ben Rasha suffering in this world? And therefore, the Gemara now is forced to reinterpret the statement of Rav Yossi. Elohachi Kamralai. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was responding to Moshe. Tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik gomur. Tzadik v'ralo is tzadik she'eno gomur. The case of a tzadik who has a certain miut, a certain minor or minority number of avonos, he's going to suffer in this world. And that will be metairim for the world to come. If you have a tzaddik gomur, then God can bestow upon him good and only good. No suffering or punishments. Why? Because there's nothing to punish. Again, keep in mind the Gemara is not relating to what we learned a few blot ago about Yisurim Shalava. We're talking about the regular classical Yisurim. Rasha v'tovlo, Rasha she'eno gomur. In other words, it's good for him because in this world, because Hashem is giving him payback for those miut zechuyos, those few times that he hit the ball in the right way and he fulfilled the mitzvahs. But he's basically a Rasha, and therefore in the next world he's got nothing to look forward to. Any merits that he has in this world, because he was tovlo, he had a little bit of good in him, but Rasha v'ralo is a Rasha gamur. There's absolutely no reason to bestow good upon him even in this world. I want to share with you the insights of the Panim Yafos to this Gemara. In his commentary on the Torah, he writes, "Shemikevon shakadosh baruch hu chafetz b'tzidkaso shel ha'adam v'yodea es kol ha'sidos." In all four scenarios that Moshe was asking about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga is for the benefit of man, based on the fact that Hashem knows the future. He understands man's soul. He knows what he's capable of. Therefore, let's go through the cases. Adam shu tzadik gomur. Hashem has total confidence in the tzadik gomur, that even if Hashem will bestow upon this tzadik only good in this world, nevertheless, there's no negative kickback over here. There's no need for damage control. Lo yorim levavo limrod b'Hashem machmas osho. You know, some people, if you shower wealth upon them, then eventually they get so involved in money loving that they steer from the path, they deviate from the path of Hashem, or they become bali gaiva yorim levavo, and they rebel against God. In the case of a tzaddik gomer, there's no fear that might happen. Hashem feels absolutely free to bestow upon the tzaddik gomur the maximum of good in this world, unlimited shefa tov, and there's no negative drawback to it. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees a person who's a tzaddik, but yet he's not a tzaddik gomur, Hashem will understand the danger on a spiritual level of bestowing too much wealth on this tzaddik, because he's a tzaddik sheinu gomur. And the fear is that if he'll become wealthy, then v'rom levavcha v'shachachtas Hashem Elokecha. And therefore Hashem denies wealth. He holds back wealth from this person in order to guarantee that the person remains a tzaddik. So the case of tzaddik v'ralo, of a tzaddik sheinu gomur, is purely out of the goodness of Hashem on behalf of this tzaddik. The tzaddik may not realize that if he's living a life of dochak, that Hashem is sparing him a challenge which perhaps he, as a tzaddik she'eino gomer, could not stand up to and could not succeed in overcoming the challenge of osher. And the same thing on the flip side, when we get to the negative, when we get to the Rishayim, there's a Rosh Hashanah Gomor. And such a person may have avoided evil and sin, perhaps, again he's a Rosh, but perhaps he did it not out of tzidkus, but because he's afraid of losing his status in the eyes of people around him, maybe in the eyes of his family members. He's afraid of his kavod. In such a case, Hashem will bestow upon this Rasha she'eino gomur wealth. And the reason for that is people around him respect him because of his wealth, and that's what keeps him in line, so to speak. That's what keeps him from becoming a first-class evil murderer, if you will. Why? Because he wants to maintain that image, that status of kavod in the eyes of others around him. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want this Rasha to go too far in his haveros, which he might do if he suffers poverty, because then he doesn't have the kavod that he wants to maintain amongst in the eyes of the people. Hashem in such a case is mashpia osher on a person to really prevent him from doing an avera. It's again God working out of compassion for the best interest of this person. In the case of a Rosh Gamur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly aware of the fact that wealth is not going to keep him from sin. It's not going to hold him in line from crossing all the bounds. On the contrary, if he's too wealthy, that'll just increase his merit, his rebellion against God. And therefore, because of his intense, profound rishus, in which he doesn't care about his kavod in the eyes of people around him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish him the way he should be punished. V'ralo b'olam hazeh. Now, in one of the commentaries, the Birchas Avram, he tries to reconcile this conclusion of the Gemara with the previous answer, which the Gemara had slugged up, and Hamevin Yavin. You know, anyone who has a chance to go through this is certainly encouraged and invited to do so. Shlosha Dvarim Bikesh Moshe Milfnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bikesh Tishra Shechina al Yisrael v'shalo Tishra Shechina al Umos Ha'olam. Says the Ein Hayah, Ein Bakasha Zu Mishum Tzaris Ayin Chalila. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't forgive the nations of the world. You know, he just wants to have an evil eye. You know, he's stingy. But rather, Tovas Min Hanoshi. Moshe Rabbeinu has the good of mankind in mind. Why? Ki hine hadrachas Yisrael al pi haTorah mitzoseh hi hadrach nifla shahar yizmanim tzorach hamin anoshi v'skalim ad sheyaroyla. God wants to see the progress and the advancement of mankind, so that when Klal Yisrael live on the Torah level and they observe the Torah and its mitzvos, they will have an impact on mankind in general. So it's very important that mankind move in the right direction. Ki hatochnit, the ultimate goal and the plan, hamusarit, in spirituality of our Torah, is very high. You know, the aspirations are so great that ultimately, at the end of days, temali aretz deas Hashem, that everyone, even the nations of the world far away from Hashem, will do tshuva, and they will, in a sense, draw water from the well of Israel. However, it's possible that Hashem will bestow His hashpa'a elokit, His divine, shall we say, guidance to a specific nation amongst the nations of the world in order to guide that nation according to its level. But then, the world itself as a whole will lose its focus on the hub, on the center. And there won't be a gravitational pull to the center, because now the energy forces are diffused, so to speak, because there's some level of Hashpah Elokit on other nations. And the ultimate goal here is that there be Americas, you know, there be something right in the middle, the hub, the center. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see that man will be gravitationally pulled towards that center, to Pisgat HaShleimut, to the ultimate high level of perfection. And that is inherent in the treasures of the Torah of Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, don't be Mashiach Yashchina on any nation other than Yisrael. It should be exclusively on Klal Yisrael, so that now this nation will serve the role as the Merkaz, as the center of Shleimut for the entire world. And as a result, number one, the nations of the world will concentrate all their attention on one center, so to speak. That will bring them together. That will create a certain harmony and a camaraderie. He calls it an achdus and a shalva, a certain unity and peace amongst the entire human race, with a certain love and brotherhood, because they're all focused on the Merkaz. They gather together around this center, this hub. And number two, it will upgrade the power and the influence, the inspiration of the Otzos HaTorah, of the living Torah of Israel. And all this because the Shekhinah is focused exclusively on Klal Yisrael. That heavy dosage makes Klal Yisrael the center for all the nations of the world. And instead of diffusing the Shekhinah and creating a certain confusion, Moshe Rabbeinu says it makes sense that the Shekhinah should be shore exclusively on Klal Yisrael. Mipnei Mayesh Tzadik V'Tovlo, Tzadik V'Ralo, Rosh V'Tovlo, Rosh V'Ralo, Tzadik V'Tovlo, Tzadik Gomur, Tzadik Ralo, Tzadik Sheino Gomur. We'd like to try to go through a piece here in the Ein Ayah, but the hour is a bit late. The piece is very profound, and we need to review it again and again. So B'li Nether, without taking upon ourselves any commitment, we'll try to do that in the next shiur. So that's number Ayin Gimel, and let's come back to it tomorrow. Mirtzah Shem. Thank you.